Well, speaking of roasting, we have Mr. Jeff Hales in the house. And many of you know Jeff as a long-term board member that was with us for many years and has moved on to life beyond the board. But we want to recognize Jeff Hale in his service to the state of California, to this board, to this region, and the resource that he worked so hard to protect. So we have a resolution. Forgive me, I'll read this whole thing, and then we'll properly do it here. So this is Resolution R1-2017-0060, expressing appreciation for Mr. Jeff Hales. Whereas the members of the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, wish to thank Jeff Hales for his dedicated service to the people and the water resources of the state of California as the regional board member. And whereas Jeff began his 10-year tenure with the regional board in February 2007 and served through June 2017, despite his deep roots in Humboldt County, Jeff cares deeply for the entire North Coast region, ably representing all sectors, citizens, beneficial uses, and geologic locations. And whereas words that describe Jeff include thoughtful, insightful, honest, inquisitive, diligent, totally competent, dependable, approachable, and a really nice guy. Wow, that's awesome. Whereas Jeff is a consummate professional and strong leader who always brought a calm, dignified approach to the Regional Water Board hearings while providing thoughtful insight and knowledge to the board's deliberation. And whereas Jeff is a licensed California professional geologist specializing in stream flow, geomorphology, and sediment management needs to naturally restore fluvial processes on regulated rivers. As a hardcore geologist, Jeff never sees a landslide that doesn't get him revved up with curiosity and keen interest to fix the problem. And whereas Jeff brought his technical skills and common sense to important and challenging issues before the board, providing valuable input toward the development and adoption of the Klamath and Upper Elk River TMDLs, the Trinity River Restoration Program, and temperature and restoration policies, among many other important permits and policies. Whereas, as a resident of Humboldt County, Jeff witnessed the environmental impacts and challenges to rural communities caused by the rapid expansion of cannabis cultivation, and he was an early and strong advocate for the development of regulation to prevent waste discharges from this land use. And whereas Jeff served diligently as a hearing officer in the matter of the Confusion Hill enforcement case, producing a lengthy order that withstood intense scrutiny by the State Water Board in Mendocino County and Superior Court. And whereas Jeff participated and played guitar in numerous jam sessions in various locations in the North Coast, adding music and joy to the board's work and travels. And whereas Jeff, as an avid outdoorsman, athlete, and advocate of youth sports, shuttled his daughters up and down the state to soccer and basketball games. And it was not uncommon for Jeff to show up on time to an all-day board meeting, having already been on the trail of his mountain bike. And whereas, despite his very full life working as a consulting geologist and being a dedicated family man, Jeff somehow manages to also teach at Humboldt State University and serve as an advisor to the graduate students. And whereas Jeff willingly volunteered to serve on the Regional Water Board for an extra 6 months beyond his original appointment in order to help guide completion of the Elk River WDRs, though we are indebted to Jeff and is incredibly grateful for his service to the Regional Water Board, we like to think that he has simply taken a sabbatical for now and may indeed return one day to serve on the board again. God knows I tried. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the members of the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board wish to express their sincere appreciation for Jeff's distinguished service to the Regional Water Board and the state of California. There you go, mister. You might need to fill out a speaker card.
Yeah. 3 minutes.
Thank you.
I'm blown away. You kind of envision sitting here while the words like that are being read as I've able to do that for past board members, and it's fun to be able to do that, but it's pretty overwhelming to be on the receiving end of it. And I'm thankful for all your kind words. I want to thank all board members present and past. And most of the familiar faces I see in the room here, you've really crafted me to be the professional that I am, what I've learned, what I've experienced, and I can't give enough credit to this organization and what it's been able to teach me. I do like using the word sabbatical because I really have struggled with the decision to take some, we'll just say, time off from the board, but I still like to maintain my contacts and stay engaged. I was kind of marveling about the time that I'd served on here, and I see that Brenda's using a laptop now. So, I mean, this is, it has been a while. So anyway, just thank you sincerely from the bottom of my heart to the board, to staff, to the public, everybody. Thank you very much.
Well, and Jeff, I want to just take an opportunity. I came on this board. You were here. And when I got here, as was Mr. Bob Anderson, who's here as well. And I certainly learned a lot from you about how to be a better board member and how to try to be effective at this job. I think you're an incredible asset. And don't go far. We surely need you. And I just want to thank you so much for the time and the effort and the experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Does anybody else want to take some? Go ahead, John.
I just wanted to thank you. You brought a very technical but calm and reasoned approach to our proceedings. And I think that was exceedingly helpful in guiding the board to making the best decisions we could. So,
thanks, John. Everybody brings such a vast and different expertise to the board, and I've just been able to value everybody's perspective, and that's the one thing that I had commented on when folks had first asked me after I had been appointed and been seated for probably a year or so. And you can read the agenda item, you can attend the briefing, you can talk with the stakeholders and think you've got the problem completely figured out and know how to vote on it. And then you get to discussion and have so many different points of view, and it really kind of turns it upside down because everybody just brings so many other valuable considerations to it, and it's really helped, you know, kind of broaden my perspective on that. And that's just, it's so valuable, and I think gives the board with the qualifications and the contributions that everybody makes to that discussion, I've always felt extremely confident in the decisions that this board has made, and I stand by that to this day. Thank you very much.
Well, just a small thing. We have a resolution here for you. I'm sure you could find a frame for this, and it's all yours, buddy. We'll send you down the trail with this, and we'll see you. For
right.
Sure, I hope so.
If I could just make a few comments, Jeff. Really, thank you so much for your service. As I said in June at your last board meeting, I feel like Jeff and I kind of grew up professionally together over the last 10 years. And it's been great being on this journey with you, and I thank you for your mentorship and being a true colleague as I took on my role as executive officer. Jeff and I were sharing last night that when Jeff joined the board, his children were an infant and a toddler. Mine were a little bit older, and now we have teenagers. And you know, one of mine will be soon heading off to college. And so, we've shared both personal and professional growth together. And I'm telling myself this is a sabbatical, and I really look forward to the possibility of your return. It's been great working with you. Thank you so much.
Anybody else? All right. Then we truly will send you down the trail. This is yours as a small token. Be good. All right. Keep playing that guitar.
You give me too much credit for the guitar. I'm really happy. I play very softly and let everybody else around.
Be well, mister. All right, Mr. Steve Moore, you are up.
Thanks. It's great to see Mr. Hales honored here. You know, words can't express really how much I appreciate his service too, and that of all of you. And while we didn't work as closely as you all have, I share a certain camaraderie too, and feel these comments resonate with my experience, and that Mr. Hales and I have a lot in common in terms of learning and contributing, and just feeling a lot of pride in the accomplishments of the water boards, the board members, and the staff throughout the state. So thanks for your service, and we'll let you know about some opportunities in Sacramento as they come up. Right, great. Well, folks, anything I say will be understated in terms of the impacts of the wildfires here in this region, and just want to send my personal feelings out to folks, and all your hard work and pulling together in the face of tragedy. There are already many stories of inspiration, and I look forward to more as the months progress. And it's a stark reminder of some of the challenges we all collectively face as our neighbor regions in the South are grappling now with fires that continue here well into the middle of December. And it's our governor has weighed in on this as a new normal, and it just is part of how we grapple with living here in California. And it's real important the roles that the water boards play in forging community, forging solutions around water resources. And so thank you for your leadership and of staff here in this region and all your enduring. You know that we'll have your back as much as we can. We did approve, you probably know or have talked about, since I've seen you last, a lot's gone on. But with respect to wildfire response, a few things. We did approve quickly the maximum our deputy director of financial assistance can approve, $250,000 out of the cleanup and abatement account to get things started here to knit up and install erosion control features in priority areas that staff has helped us prioritize here. And then we followed that up with $300,000 more, so $550,000 so far from the cleanup and abatement account to assist with, especially in the Fountain Grove area here in the 90-acre project on hydro mulching. So also, as many of you, I want to thank for coming to the Water Quality Coordinating Committee this past October, and your substantive contributions, substantial contributions to the discussion on wildfire response. We also engaged folks from other regions that have dealt with it, and our new executive director, Eileen Sobeck, has taken direction from us to, within the Management Coordinating Committee, MCC of executive officers, talk about using some of our resources at the state level in Office of Research Planning and Performance to pull together more of a menu of things to do for different regions as they grapple with emergency response, not just wildfire, but other issues, flood, earthquake, et cetera. And so that's an ongoing effort to have that emergency response sort of menu of options and that are at the disposal of water boards to be able to respond nimbly to issues that come up quite rapidly, as I'm sure you'll hear a lot more today. And I look forward to hearing your experience about that more today. So I want to name all the names off. I don't want to take up too much time, but thank you, Board Member Giusti, Board Member Noren, Board Member Corbett, and then, of course, Board Member Gant for being there. But contributing to these panels, we did within a week, we made a decision to pivot from a climate change adaptation discussion at all the regional boards to a wildfire response discussion. So within the span of a week, you all did a great job preparing, and it was very a fruitful discussion that, as I said, is now moving forward within to come up with something that regional boards can use in the future that is meaningful. We also, Case and Grady, your board staff member, participated in our innovative technology panel about how to better monitor compliance with our water board regulatory programs using technology. And really the number one feature was the Cannabis Investigative and Prioritization System, or the CIPS, effort, where our different groups within State Board, Information Technology, Information Management and Analysis, got together with staff here at the Regional Board and the State Board Water Rights and Office of Enforcement, who's been kind of our lead at the State Water Board on cannabis program development. And so that system of prioritization of what seems to be an overwhelming number of potential cases and enrollees really helped in both Central Valley and this region develop some tools on the ground to help us prioritize our efforts. So that was a very substantive discussion as well that I think all the regional boards, all nine of them, really benefited from. So this has been one of the all the regions are busy, but this is a busy regional board, I'll just say. You know, there is a lot going on up here, and we want to acknowledge all these efforts. Just to share a couple things, you know, we were invited by the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors to come tour facilities and projects and discuss things about you know, the farm operations, irrigation ditches, and everything else, and regulatory and permitting issues up there, and just share some time and learn about what's going on. And it was a great discussion. I participated. Also, board member Dee Diadamo came, and Brian McFadden joined us, even though he was dealing with significant personal issues with the wildfire response up here. But it was around October 15th, 14th, or something like that. And I just want to let you know that we participated in that, and it was a good chance to just to share experiences and concerns, but also to celebrate the stewardship that's going on up there. And so really try to find common ground and continue the dialogue. And so it was great. I was really glad to have Brian McFadden there to, you know, remind folks of all the efforts that are already underway here at the North Coast Board to forge partnerships up in Siskiyou County. So there's a lot going on. In Cal EPA, under the leadership of Governor Brown, we formed a tribal advisory panel, and I haven't participated real actively, but the I did participate yesterday, and it's interesting, just, you know, the overlap with a lot going on in this region and the issues that are of importance to the tribal advisory committee that advises the Cal EPA agencies. And so we were able to brief them on some of the efforts. And, you know, Gita Kapai of our Office of Public Participation is very active up here. She spends time up here. And both the Klamath Dam removal, where our Water Rights Division is in discussions, sort of consultation. You know, I use that word with care because there's a formal consultation and then there's, you know, getting together and communicating. So I won't define this as formal, but we have met with Yurok Tribe, but also some non-federally recognized tribes in the area, Shasta Indian Nation, Shasta Nation, to understand better the cultural resources that would be impacted potentially through dam removal. Basically, with the reservoir level going down, there's the culturally important artifacts may be, you know, brought to daylight that need to be protected, as an example. So we're also a lot of interest in the tribes about the cannabis order and making sure cultural resources are protected as that order is rolled out and implemented. And so a number of tribes, including Yurok, Blue Lake Rancheria, Hoopah, and Wiyot, have requested consultation on that, for instance. So just to give you a little sense, you know, in my experience as a regional board and then now at the state board, I've always been a proponent of the state board showing leadership with collaboration on general orders and general permits, just to create a little more functionality, efficiency in our execution of our regulatory programs. We, you know, to very anticlimactic when these things work out smoothly, but we had an uncontested calendar item on hydrostatic testing of natural gas pipelines and discharges associated with that, working with, so it would be natural gas safety initiatives that came out of, you know, whether it was the San Bruno pipeline disaster or other things. PUC has required a much more careful management of the infrastructure for natural gas. Well, there's water quality impacts of those issues, but there is makes a lot of sense to have a statewide system to do it. Well, as we rolled that proposal out, the tribal members of the state, some came up and said, we need to make sure we're consulted in case cultural resources could be impacted by these activities. So we actually embedded some communication requirements, which the utilities gladly accepted, And so that was an example of coordinating with the tribal interests on a general statewide permit. Also within the funding areas, we did fund the Trinidad Rancheria to do some work in the area's special biological significance, which is a stormwater treatment project within the Trinidad Harbor and Pier facility. So it's a stormwater program working directly with the tribe. One thing we recently did as well was update the Supplemental Environmental Project Policy, the SEPs, the SEPs. That went hand in hand with our earlier adoption of the update of the enforcement policy earlier this year in April. And it also, out of a recent assembly bill, I think it was 1074, but don't quote me, the legislature said it was interested in this supplemental environmental project program because there's money, you know, but also, you know, the legislature, like us and you, are grappling with water issues related to disadvantaged communities. And so we weren't opposed at all to the idea that that there would be a little bit more outreach and standardization around the state on supplemental environmental projects to benefit disadvantaged communities. And so in implementing the requirements of this legislation, we updated the SEP policy. And there'll be an expectation on regional boards to maintain a list, quote unquote, of candidate projects for SEPs, and each region has a different way of about going about doing that. We did that in Region 2. I remember I was involved with that. And so there will be some orderly, systematic approach to this program, and the Office of Enforcement will coordinate that. So it wasn't terribly controversial. That we did do three different public hearings on this amendment that we have finally adopted this month, and we were really focusing on the projects that are excluded. That was the area of controversy, because sometimes those things that are written off in general might be applicable when you get to the specifics. So we worked through a lot with the sanitary districts of the state, in particular CASA, to work through that language so that we didn't exclude otherwise beneficial projects for communities. All right, moving along. Well, you know, on financial assistance in disadvantaged communities, the North Coast is faces a lot of significant issues. And I know there have probably been times when staff felt like, how will we ever, you know, really get to the heart of these issues? And it takes a lot of financial assistance. And so with Prop 1, there was this opportunity. Can we leverage these funds for disadvantaged community wastewater and water issues? And I'm glad to see this press release, and Mr. St. John helped with it, and I don't know if you all have it in your packet, but we've been able to move nearly $25 million of grant money for wastewater system upgrades in this region. A big lion's share of that was approved a couple weeks ago. And I want to thank Charles Reed of your staff for coming and attending. His persistent work in the community of Lewiston was really instrumental, and in moving forward a wastewater collection, treatment, and disposal project. But it also was an institutional innovation where you had three different governmental entities now that will be consolidated for better community service, basically, and also, so it's a matter, it's both the infrastructure and the institution elements that are going to be improvements in Lewiston. We also recently approved about, what was the number? It was for the Willow Creek Community Services District, and that's a downtown wastewater development project for almost $5 million. And so Willow Creek and Lewiston, but also just rattling off planning projects that are, those are implementation, but you have Anderson Valley, Fort Jones, Fortuna, Humboldt County, Samoa, Peninsula Wastewater, Klamath Community Services District, Lake Shastina Community Services District Wastewater, Weed, and Wairika. That's a significant amount of planning money for wastewater system upgrade. So thanks to your staff for really identifying these priorities and working with the communities. We take this very seriously that these opportunities don't come along all the time, and I think together state and region boards seize the opportunities to really move the needle in these disadvantaged communities. So we, of course, the work's just beginning. You know, that's planning money. That means we're going to get the plan. It's got to be, you know, water quality protection. It's got to be something that's technically, managerially, and fiscally possible. You know, and so these details are to come. But it's exciting to get the ball rolling. I mentioned, you know, the tribal consultation, and I'll just say that there's ongoing coordination on the Klamath River Restoration Project with the four dam removals, and the meetings do continue. We did go to Siskiyou County in October along with the KRRC to present to the board, and I think there was a little, you know, realization culturally up there that this thing is a lot of momentum, and it's time to really talk about how it's going to be knitted into the community. No decision's been made from our standpoint. We're really going to look at things objectively in terms of what's been applied for and water quality to be protected through the water quality certification process. In your region, we actually had a water rights hearing. I was the hearing officer for the Marble Mountain Ranch waste and unreasonable use allegation, and it was a four-day, all-day hearing in November. And we had interest from a wide variety of it was federal, you know, the NMFS agency, Fish and Wildlife was present, as well as the Karuk tribe, who did a really good job of communicating technical information they've been collecting in the area. And it was respect to a diversion for both hydropower and domestic use at a dude ranch in a very remote part of the state in terms of the Klamath Basin, upstream of the confluence of the Salmon River, I believe. And so staff are now working on that. And that was an order that Office of Enforcement issued, and then they requested the hearing. And so we had a four-day hearing of evidence. And so we're working on writing up the order out of that hearing now. I know there's a lot of history there, and it was evident to me that people have worked hard to try to craft a solution there, and so we really want to be constructive part of all of that. You know, on the wildfire issue, circling back again, I wanted to, and you may have heard about this, but there was not just, you know, the extraordinary efforts and endurance of the regional board staff in this, but also our drinking water division staff here in Santa Rosa. We're actively involved. And evacuations affected most of the division's Santa Rosa staff as well. Many of them reported to work and immediately began reaching out to public water systems during the wildfire. As the threat remained in the days that followed, our division activated a virtual division response center, enabling the use of staff from around the state to support the fire response effort. And our Division of Information Technology, at the request of our district division staff, established email and phone hotlines and a SharePoint site that allowed staff to remotely collaborate on documents from the drinking water side. And using GIS and, of course, our field knowledge, we quickly developed a list of about 130 public water systems that could be impacted. And so that was a quick review. And then maintaining daily outreach efforts, assessing these water systems affected by fires. We had the status spreadsheet. And by October 23rd, the Santa Rosa office was able to resume normal operations. So that was about a week and a half later. And began an intensive program of on-site assessments of water systems either damaged or likely in need of aid. And so this, the participation is still ongoing with multi-agency planning efforts, but out of the 130 systems, more than 75%, and probably more like 80%, are resumed normal operations at this point. And in hindsight, many of the at-risk water systems were deemed to have little or no damage, and so There was some rerouting and reconnecting of systems, but we're continue to be engaged, ensure that there's aid and support available either through our board or the multi-agency coordination efforts. So that now it gives us a whole new dimension, you know, in terms of responding to emergencies and collaborating. And I'm sure you'll probably have some examples of that coordination.
Yeah, and Division of Drinking Water staff will actually be here to present on item number 11.
Yeah, great. So finally, I touched on it, but the Office of Enforcement in our board was really our point on the cannabis program. But that's going to shift now. You know, we're sort of moving out of that regulatory program development and into more of the traditional Office of Enforcement roles. But they will be organizing the third annual Cannabis Enforcement Summit in January and February of 2018. So keep track of that. Make sure you're involved. You're probably planning it. but that's where we get together with Fish and Wildlife and discuss last year's efforts and the upcoming efforts. And likely this year's summit will include the new regulatory program and get everybody up and running. We have a lot of staff that have been hired in that too, not only here but at the state board. So that will be a journey that's just beginning. And so with that, I think that's where I'll leave things. Again, thanks for your great participation in our statewide discussions, and we look forward to continuing to forge this partnership.
Steve, thank you for coming, as always. A couple things back at you. For one thing, I thought WQCC was very good this year. I know that you, I think, are mainly the spearhead of how that goes, and it was, I have to say, I think I've gone to 8 or 9 of those now, and this year was very, very good. I thought it was the best one in a long time, and I think that's got your fingerprints on it, so good job. I also want to – you mentioned the set policy update, so that's an order that State Board adopted? Okay. Because I know that Rob talked about that. There was legislative action on that. You know, we've been advocates for using SEP policy and SEP monies back into communities to solve problems locally and not just write checks to a fee and fine type thing. So I need to look at that. Last thing is thank you so much for the State Board support through the fire response, the initial response. I'm sure we'll be talking more as we go. But thank you very much for that. I think that's so important. Any other questions for Mr. Steve? Go for it.
Well, first I want to ditto his thank yous to you so I don't have to go through it.
Thank you.
I wanted to thank you for making the distinction between government to government and tribal consultation. That's really a lot of progress, and not every state agency catches that quickly. I want to thank you for the $25 million. I want to try and get some press force up north. And just for Willow Creek, I first encountered their problems in 1976, and they knew they had to upgrade. Everybody knew they had to upgrade, and they got no's in 76, and they still kept at it. And I know you guys had to stretch a little bit on the regs, but you solved a 40-year problem, and so I really appreciate it as part of that $25 million. I think the ASBS, which our board was active in too, is an excellent model, one with a partnership with the tribe, but two is a little bit maybe instructive to other areas of the state on some of the marine reserves, on certain things that can be done. So I think it was a grand decision that may provide guidance in the future, and that's always good to get a little extra out of it. I want to apologize to you. At the last meeting regarding the cannabis, I stated that unusual for the state board that they took into account regional board considerations. Some people took that as a poke at you, but I need to let you know that I'm a lawyer. I'm not a normal person. So I viewed that as a exceptional drafting achievement.
Oh, okay.
Because it's very, very hard to do that in a statewide policy. So I wanted to make sure you got, you stooped down to the legal profession for a few seconds here. And then lastly, just appreciate the Klamath and the follow-up on it. And as you know, the Four Dams coming out is the largest dam removal in history in the United States, certainly maybe even in the world, and the ongoing state support of that's been greatly appreciated.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thank you. Well, no offense was taken. I don't even remember what he's talking about.
Oh, I take back the apology.
Like water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Well, stick around if you wish, Mr. Moore. Oh. We're going to be talking about some of the disaster response and where
yes.
we go.
Mr. Chair?
I will.
Oh,
thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.